Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So welcome to another Squawk 7000. And we're here at an airfield, a couple of quiet aeroplanes parked beside us. And Mark Dwyer is with me as well. Mark, we were talking just before we decided to record here about this week's topic. And it's an interesting one. It's called skill fade. What does that actually mean?
Well, basically, it's when, you know, if you don't use your skills, they tend to fade over time. So if you think about driving a car, you go away on holidays, you haven't driven for a couple of weeks, and you know, you get back in your car and, you know, you have trouble with the clutch or something like that. Same thing with an airplane. And if you think about how little we fly, I think an average PPL might do 12, 15, 20 hours per year. That's not a huge amount of flying for the amount of skills that are there. So if you don't use your skills over time, they will degrade. And I think we've seen over the past 2 years with COVID that there has been elements of skill fade out there, where we've seen an increase in accident levels, particularly in the landing phase.
Yeah, we'll talk about that specifically because, as you say, the landing phase seems to be the one that's catching people out. So we're talking about two kinds of pilots, I suppose, really, in this particular episode. The ones who are part of a club, where at least there'll be some level of monitoring, I presume, goes on in terms of people's currency. And then there's the people who own their own aircraft or are flying a group.
Yeah, absolutely. So in most organisations, there will be an element of oversight, whether that's, you know, regulatory or the clubs themselves have decided to do some oversight. Maybe it's worth taking a look at the legal definition to start with. So in order to carry passengers in a single engine piston aircraft, you need to do at least 3 takeoffs and landings within the previous 90 days. If you go outside of that, then you've got a couple of options. You either fly on your own and do the 3 takeoffs and landings on your own, or you can fly with an instructor and do the 3 takeoffs and landings with an instructor. And that's obviously the route that I would recommend, because if you haven't flown in 90 days or 3 landings in 90 days, then, you know, by definition, you are rusty. And if you're rusty, then you're more likely to have an incident or an accident.
And if you put your instructor's hat on around this too, because I was flying today and I got out and I got to, I think, about 9 landings altogether, takeoff and landing in the circuit, but I still forgot something on one of them. And that's even with the level of currency. There is a nice situation where you'll sometimes forget something.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I don't think I've ever done a perfect flight. I don't think a perfect flight has ever been done by anybody, because there's always going to be a little mistake. And that falls into something called threat and error management, which you may have heard of. And the E in that, the error management, we all make errors, and it's how we capture them and how we deal with them is the important bit. So in most cases, you know, we might use a checklist. If we've good checklist discipline, we can say we forget to turn on a fuel pump. We do our checklist, we catch it in the checklist, and then we move on from there. If you're not current, you have a tendency to make more mistakes and you end up behind the aircraft, and you may even forget to do the checklist. And now suddenly the error is not captured, and it will kind of snowball into an incident or an accident. And we're all aware of the Swiss cheese model. Mm-hmm. And accidents don't happen in isolation. There's always lots of different things line up. For example, if you forget a car seat or if you get a fuel pump and something else happens, and then suddenly all these things line up and have an incident or an accident. So it's very common to forget things. But if you haven't practiced a skill over time, then yes, it will cause an issue and catch up with you.
So this is the prevent, trap, mitigate rule, I think, isn't it, that they use in CRM? So you prevent it happening in the first place, what, skill and knowledge,
yep.
Trap it with the checklist,
yep.
And then the mitigation part.
Yeah, so there's various different ways to look at it. Practice is probably the key thing. So if you are unlucky enough that something happens, then, you know, how do we manage it? So, for example, you know, we talk about three takeoffs and landings, and landing is probably the most challenging phase of the approach or of the flight even. Mm. The workload is high, and if there's something's going to happen, it's likely going to happen at that stage. We need to approach the way we do recurrency training or refresher training in a different way. For a lot of us or a lot of people in the past, you just want to jump on an airplane, fly for an hour and get the sign off in the logbook and get your license endorsed. Really, we should be looking at this as an opportunity to learn something new or to refresh old skills. So just getting airborne and flying around in a circle for an hour is not really going to benefit you. You can do that yourself. Mm. So you want to be doing something that will benefit you. And that, you know, the stuff that we don't do on a regular basis, engine failures after takeoff, engine failures, you know, out in the open countryside, approach to soil recovery, steep turns. And, you know, the argument is there that, oh, well, you know, what's the use of practicing stalls at high altitude? But you still need to practice these things because you still need the muscle memory. So if it does happen, that you can recover from it in a timely way. But as we talked about, trapping errors and, you know, threat and error management, it's anticipating the issue before it happens. So if you go up and you practice approach to stall recovery in your aircraft, hopefully you'll recognize those symptoms in advance before they actually happen. And again, it's trapping that before it becomes an incident or an accident.
What's the value of a takeoff brief in a small airplane?
I think it's so useful. It's like everything. It's like being current. So if you've just spoken through, or you've talked through, and even if I'm flying on my own, I'll talk through it out loud. You know, if the engine fails on the runway, I'm going to close the throttle and stop the aircraft. And we see with some of the more modern engines, like a Rotax or something like that, that you know, they've got throttle springs on them, so that even if it coughs and splutters, if you don't close the throttle, it's going to open back up again, and you will be halfway through a rejected takeoff, and suddenly the throttle goes to full power on you. So things like that can happen. But if you talk through it, you're much more likely, and the science is out there to back this up, that you're much more likely to come out with a successful outcome at the end of it. Because if you've just spoken about lowering the nose, picking a field 30 degrees either side of the centre line, it means that you're much more likely to do it. If you didn't do that and you didn't practice a safety brief, well, when was the last time you talked about an engine failure after takeoff? It could be on your PPF flight test. It could have been even before that. So it's important to have these things fresh in your mind, because when they do happen, the workload goes so high that you won't have time to think about it. It needs to be sitting there in the back of your, in now, the
you
front of your memory.
You mentioned at the beginning of our chat, you know, that the landing, the number of incidents or accidents that have been in, you know, over the COVID period or around that, all come back to this landing phase. Were you able to extract anything from that?
Yeah, so I spoke at the GASCI meeting there a few weeks ago about this. And at that stage, I looked back at the last seven air accident reports. They all involved, I think all but one involved aircraft in the landing phase. And actually this week, there's been another one published in the landing phase again. And, you know, sadly, luckily no injuries, but sadly involved the aircraft being written off. So why do they happen? Well, anytime you do a landing, it's the longest time since you've last done a landing. So that's one way to look at it. But everything's happening at the same time. You've got, you're descending, you're slow. You're going to be most susceptible to wind gusts close to the ground, be it mechanical turbulence and other types of crosswinds and things like that. So there's a lot going on. The workload is high. And if it goes wrong, it tends to go wrong quite quickly. So again, it comes back to this idea of threat and error management. If you know there's a crosswind, if you know the runway is short, if you know, you know, there's something, you can anticipate it in advance. Where you know, if you don't stay ahead of the airplane, you're only a passenger effectively. And unfortunately, I think, not to comment on those accidents in particular, but certainly at the landing phase, you know, there's a tendency for the pilot to get a little bit behind the aircraft, and sometimes they pull it off, and that's just pure luck. But eventually, you know, that will catch up with you.
And that, of course, decision that pilots are sometimes a little reluctant to do, which is the go around.
Yeah, absolutely. Every approach should be to a go around, and a landing is a bonus, and that's a good way to look at it. So never be afraid to go around, and there's still a tendency to push on when an approach is unstable. And this whole idea of stabilized approach criteria has been in commercial aviation for years, and it's slowly filtering down into general aviation, and it's a really important aspect to think of. So if you're flying, you know, on the desired approach path, within a few knots or miles per hour of your target speed and the correct landing configuration and the runway is clear, you're much more likely to pull off a successful landing. The statistics, if you look at the IAA safety performance review that's published every year, we see that most of the accidents are involve something called abnormal runway contact. So that's, you know, a bounce with a runway excursion or something like that. The majority of them come from unstable approaches. So it's, so that's the start of it, is to have a stabilized approach. And if you're not stable, don't be afraid to throw it around. And you'll see even the most experienced pilots will occasionally mess it up and they just go around. And it's important to do that.
It's, again, it's something to be learned, I suppose, from the aviation, the commercial side of things, when, you know, when the first officer or the pilot monitoring will say, you know, decide. And even if you said that to yourself, am I stable and am I deciding to continue?
Yeah, absolutely. And in a lot of airlines, they've given a lot of authority to the pilot monitoring to make that call. Because generally speaking, the pilot flying is under a lot more pressure. They're busy, they're task saturated sometimes, particularly if it's a challenging approach. So coming from the outside, the pilot monitoring is given that task just to analyze the situation separately and ask, are we stable? And if not, then call the go around. And that's, you know, has prevented a huge amount of runway excursions in the commercial aviation world. So bringing that into general aviation, and now in a single pilot operation, it's a lot more challenging because you don't have that external voice. But if you feel that, you know, things are getting busy, you're feeling the workload is getting high, maybe that's a sign to throw away the approach.
And go around again and nobody will say boo.
We'll be back with more after this short break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
On your, you mentioned the GASC evening and that you did a presentation. There was one slide, and we're going to try and do this, you know, on a podcast, but it's visual. And it was really captured my attention, which is this way I think they have of deciding currency. And you said it came from what, from gliding, I think, originally.
Yeah, so it's published by the British Gliding Association. It's called their currency barometer. So what they've done in this case, and they push it out to all their clubs, but it's equally applicable to single engine piston flying or any other flying you do in that area. So effectively, they've got three colours, red, yellow, green. On the left-hand side, they've got the number of hours you've flown in the last year. And on the right-hand side, the number they have launches, but, you know, in our case, takeoffs and landings. And you basically draw a line from the number of hours you've done the last 12 months to the number of landings you've done the last 12 months. And whatever color that falls into effectively tells you whether you're rusty or you're not as good as you think, or okay, you're current, but you still need to watch out for a few things. And interestingly, when I was doing the research for that presentation, I plotted the legal limits onto it. And the legal limits actually have you in the red zone. So just by complying with the minimum legal requirements to keep a single engine piston rating current means you are rusty. So by definition, you really need to be doing more flying than that. So that's quite an important thing to think about.
Yeah, and I think the challenge is, as you said, with an aeroplane starting up beside us now here, which is good, somebody's keeping current, is that, as you say, the minimum requirements are not actually really going to keep you comfortable in your own right.
Absolutely. You know, I would encourage pilots to get out and fly as much as possible. And worth noting that coming out of COVID, I think a lot of people are even less current than they have been in the past because there was a long break. And for me personally, in, you know, 15 or 18 years of flying, it was the longest point I went without any flying, either privately or commercially. So, you know, I wasn't unique in that. It happened to a lot of other people as well. So, you know, I think it was reasonably well managed, the return to flying in most operations. But we did see a spike in accidents last year. There's like this, and the AAIU reports are coming out now. And I'm aware of, I think there was already two accidents this year that involve hull write-offs. So it's something that as a community, we really need to be aware of. And we really need to think about staying more current, practicing more, and try staying in the air a little bit longer.
There is a tendency too, I think, for pilots, maybe I'm just reflecting my own flying as well, for you to get into a kind of a rut of flying where you tend to do, you fly to the same place, or you go out and you do a few circuits, whatever the case may be. You would probably suggest people should stretch themselves a little bit too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like everything. And if you think back to your PPL, you do lots of new stuff all the time. You're flying to new destinations, you're doing your qualifying cross country. You always have a target in place there. Whereas when you get your PPL, sometimes you lose that target, and you know, you might take off from Weston as I did, you fly out to the west, you bring your friends and family flying, and then suddenly you're kind of not that as enthusiastic about it anymore, and you don't do as much flying as you plan. So absolutely, I'd encourage people to stretch their wings. And in Funfly Aerosports, we brought in this new award called the Funfly Wings Award, and this is to try and encourage people to get out and fly more. And we've done that by giving pilots targets to aim for. So once you get your PPL, you know, so the award is set out with a bronze, silver and gold level. So you start off at bronze. It's 100 hours, of which 50 must be PIC. There's a cross-country qualification there, slightly longer than the qualifying cross-country for the PPL. And then there's an educational target, so get a new rating, do something different. And the final one is to... We have an aircraft taxiing this year. We might give
we'll
him a second.
Let him go, yeah.
And off he goes. Yeah, and the last bit is the a safety seminar of some description. So like the Gasky Safety Evening that was held recently, Gasco holds similar evenings, and we're planning a few more at Funfly over the summer as well, either in person or on Zoom. Yeah.
So let's summarise then, I suppose, where we were taking people today. We were talking about skill fade, the phrase sometimes also used, obviously, is rusty pilots. And you're saying that the basic minimum requirements are fine, they're there, but you should be doing a little bit more.
Yeah, and if you think about, you know, why did you get your license in the first place? You got it to fly. Yeah, it's really important that you go out and use those skills. If you think back to your PPL flight test, you would never jump in an aircraft and attempt a flight test having not flown in 90 days. You would usually like to fly a week or two beforehand. So if we treat that in the same way, then, you know, we should be flying, you know, a couple of times a month, ideally, if not more than that.
And for anybody who's listening to us who's not in a club, who's, you know, private owner or in a group, what's your recommendation to them in terms of even just hooking up with an instructor?
Yeah, find a friendly instructor. So there's plenty of clubs around the country. I think we've seen a bit of a resurgence in general aviation in the last few years with the kind of advent of more affordable aircraft, certainly on the permit side. And there's lots of people that, you know, have done instructor ratings and may not actively instruct, but do instruct in a club environment, you know, a couple of times a month or something like that. There's plenty of friendly instructors out there. Give them a call, or you can always give us a call on Funfly. We'd be happy to help you out.
Mark Pryor, thanks for talking to us.
Cheers, thank you.
To get the news first, subscribe now to Squawk 7000 on your favourite podcast platform.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.